Hi, this is Sean Halter, host of the CMO Suite podcast, letting you know that as we kick off season four, several of these episodes were recorded in New York City just prior to the COVID outbreak. At the end of this episode, stick around for a follow-up as to how our guest is making their way through today's current marketing environment and what they see as the next opportunity. And as always, don't forget to subscribe and catch up on all the previous episodes at www.thecmosuite.com. This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconnex. Uconnex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconnex. Visit them today at uconnex.com. And No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. Visit them at nokidhungry.org. This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. Winmo tracks every national advertiser, their agency relationships, and key executives within each organization. Get instant media spend, competitor tracking, and industry trend analysis in one easy-to-use application that integrates with all major CRM platforms. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite. Finally, the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Hello, it is Sean Halter. Welcome to the CMO Suite. The CMO Suite, as always, is presented by Connectivity Holdings. I am incredibly excited. We are back in New York City. As many of you know, we are starting off season four, and we've got an incredible lineup of guests this season. One of the most exciting things for me sometimes is when I get to work with a brand that I actually interact with constantly. And so my guest today is Carola Jane. She's the Chief Marketing Officer at Spartan. Carola, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we sent you out the request, it's always interesting. Sometimes we'll send out requests. Some CMOs say, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll be on the show. Some are like, who are you and why are you bothering us? You were so kind and so, it was so nice of you when we sent out the request. You were like, well, tell me a little bit about the show. And then you were like, sure, if I can make the time, I'm happy to be on. So have you done podcasts before? Have you done much in this space?
Not a lot, but I've done a few, and we also have our own podcast, so I'm frequently listening to that.
I love when brands embrace the podcast, because although I came through radio to some extent, I do feel like it's a medium that people are missing an opportunity if they're not using it as a brand. Consumers, if you have a passion for Spartan like I do, they want as much content as they can kind of soak up. And a podcast is such an inexpensive and great way to be able to talk to those consumers. And so how long you guys have been doing the podcast?
For a few years now. And I think we've gradually added more as we have sort of expanded also our area of expertise. We're really an extreme wellness brand versus just a race brand. So I think consumers are looking to us from all different perspectives of extreme wellness, nutrition, the mind, the body. And so Joe DeSena, the founder of Spartan, certainly has a really wide range of people that he can interview. And we also have a lot of transformational stories within our own community. And personally, I love podcasts because I feel there's always that dead space when you're walking, when you're, you know, commuting. And I think you can learn so much from podcasts. And it's an easy way also to learn more the personal side of somebody. So I think it's a great medium.
You know, I was in radio for years, and then I jumped into the agency business, and I really had kind of not necessarily distanced myself from it, but again, was one of those situations where you just kind of forget. And one of my creative people was the one who reminded me of the importance of listening to some podcasts. She reminded me of one called How I Built This, which for those of you who are listening to the show who don't know that, it's an amazing podcast. And certainly for an entrepreneur in the business space or even in the marketing space, whatever that is, just such a great show. I think what I really took away from that was the willingness of some people to be able to talk about their successes, but also their failures. And you forget that along the way. You forget just how interesting some of this is. So then after doing that, then she was like, now you should go do one. And I did. And it's been fun. And it's been great meeting people like you who always have something interesting to take to the table. And for a marketer like me or somebody who owns different things in the space, what other chance do I have? It is that chance sometimes to be able to bridge a gap, bring something of value potentially. And so thank you again for jumping on the show, and thanks for your love or your passion for podcasting. So tell me, where did you grow up, if you don't mind me asking? Because I don't think you're from Jersey.
No, not. I'm from Germany, actually. I grew up in Germany. I lived there until I was 19. Then I moved to London. I went to university in London. I had a short experience in Paris, France. I worked there for a semester abroad. And then I came to America shortly after and started working at Interbrand, which is a global branding consultancy, and started working through several different departments there. I led the brand valuation department for a while, moved into strategy, worked a lot with financial services and also not-for-profit clients. And then after a short period of freelancing and, you know, working with Spartan, notably on, you know, the Spartan Women Initiative, I then came on board full time at Spartan.
Talk to me a little bit about growing up in Germany, and you have this international flavor, certainly to some extent, which that globalness is certainly interesting. I always find it interesting when a guest didn't grow up here, because, you know, we talk constantly about the fact that America is certainly important in the consumer space, but it's a small part, and there's so much that's out there globally. So when you grew up in Germany and then you end up going either just to school, and did you say you went to school in Paris or you had some of your internships there?
Yes, I worked in Paris for a year.
What brought you there? Was it that opportunity for the internship, or was it you just always thought it'd be interesting to kind of work in Paris, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, no, I was very interested in languages and different cultures. And so French was definitely one of my passions. And at the time, funny enough, the opposite of Spartan, was interested in working in the fashion space. So I worked at Ralph Lauren, and that was certainly the best place. And I was working with the European licensees that were German speaking. So that was very interesting, and was able to really learn a lot, and then ultimately decided that fashion wasn't the space I wanted to work in, and took a very strong pivot. My studies were international business, and I actually wanted to work in Wall Street, and hence came to New York and was pretty much set on wanting to be in finance, and then learned about Interbrand and this whole notion of brand valuation and sort of marrying marketing with finance. And, you know, I have a pretty analytical and numerical background. So from that perspective, looking at companies and sort of mixing the magic and the numbers and being between the CMO and the CFO, those were certainly the two clients that Interbrand was always bridging.
Scott Griffiths, who was most recently the CFO of marketing for Farmers Insurance, is also, I would say at this point, a friend or an associate. I think hopefully he'd be okay with me calling him a friend. That was the first time I think I had ever really seen kind of that kind of title. And so interviewing him in season one was so interesting. And finance is it's an interesting thread. There's several guests that we've had on the show throughout the season, and even some this season, where they've either had a finance background or they just talk about the importance of finance in being able to really dig into the numbers. And I guess it's, to me, maybe even more so as data becomes more and more integral into the space. And is that kind of marketing where you're really tracking that consumer piece? It sounds like that's an extra almost secret weapon to have in your pocket.
Yeah, I think from the consulting background, having to look at a company and really understand where the company's making money and how they're leveraging the brand, and then also attributing that brand cost as well as value back to a portion of the business, helps me a lot right now, since we actually don't just run the Spartan brand. We also have a trail racing brand under the Spartan name. We launched a new brand called DecaFit, which is a completely different brand. And then we're acquiring a lot of different brands under the trail umbrella. So again, you know, running sort of an internal marketing organization that services all these different brands, and our recent acquisition, which you may have heard about, Tough Mudder, which we run independently, and we're keeping the brand independently. But looking at all these resources that are being shared, how do you attribute that cost, and how do you really leverage where you see the biggest opportunity to allocate, you know, resources to that, is very important. And at Interbrand, the one thing it taught me was you have to be able to stand up in front of a boardroom. You have to be able to present to people that only look at the numbers. And, you know, the branding world only goes so far if you don't really show the ROI on your initiatives and you don't show the long-term return there. Then, you know, that funding is going to dry up at some point. So I always say my CFO is literally my best friend, and I want to be on his side as much as I can and really show him on how we're hopefully adding value.
16 years at Interbrand, or darn close to it, and it sounds like that length of time allowed you to be able to really take some of your strengths, evolve from there, and perhaps put yourself in a unique position to a brand like Spartan, which it's not which has historically not been a retail brand. To your point, they continue to kind of evolve and expand out, but it's, at least my interaction with it, it's always been a brand you interact with online. You decide that you want to do a race, either somebody told you about it or you saw something and you decided, oh, that could be interesting. I came up through 5Ks and 10Ks and my knees just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. I still love the excitement of doing something physical, or at least trying to make myself get in a reasonably enough shape that I'm hopefully going to do one of those. That's where it was introduced to me. The acquisition of Tough Mudder is even more interesting because that's kind of was the only other kind of thing that was out there that was like that. And I tried both of them, and there were uniquenesses to each of those, which was interesting. But talk about that part of the Spartan business. Talk about the part that now you guys really, you do have to make sure that every dollar works. How has marketing changed in just the short time that you've been there over the last, 2.5 years in being able to better understand data to protect internally somebody's data, so that they're feeling that they're being given something of value. How has that evolved, and how do you think that will continue to evolve? Does that make some sense?
Yeah, sure. I think we've definitely moved from a company that organizes events, that has an extremely passionate consumer and customer base, to an organization and a brand that is a badge brand that touches you 365 days if you wish so. So hence to your first question, why do we have a podcast? Because there are people that may never race, but they're very interested in the premise of overcoming obstacles, of transforming their lives, of really having that grit and the tenacity that certainly our founder, Joe DeSena, puts to the day every morning when he gets up at 4:30 and works out. So I think, what do you learn from that mindset? You know, at Spartan, we always say, we introduce a little bit of adversity so that when things happen in your life, you then can overcome them. You have sort of this mechanism that you kick back into, and you then know, how do I overcome these obstacles? Everybody in their life has an obstacle at some point. And how do you train yourself? So I think we've added content. We've added broader partnerships with people and brands that want to touch our customers, where they can add value to our experience for the customer. And we're really looking at everything as complementary to the overall experience and the transformation of the individual customer. So if one of our community members, wants to transform their lives by staying at home and working out, we have content that helps you do that. You don't ever have to come to one of our races. If you want to do a 3K or something, on the entry level, or again, you can also push yourself and run the best possible time at our stadium race. We have that all the way to, 100-mile race. But we certainly have then product around it, training products, merchandise, all of that. And we really feel with our recent launch, the Spartan Edge platform, that's an online education platform where you can learn, from experts on how a vegan diet might potentially help your health. So all of those things are really interesting for our customers.
I actually just saw something on your Twitter that I follow you on Twitter, and there is
Stacey's on the Twitter.
I love Twitter. Twitter knows me well.
Go ahead.
And there's something there where there's several recipes for I think it's the crock pot, the slow cooker. And there's also something, don't work out, train for something. And I saw the hashtag pick a date.
Pick a date.
And hashtag Spartan.
Yeah.
And it's very inspiring content.
Yeah. We just actually launched that. Thank you. And that was something, again, that Joe DeSena.
I promise she wasn't a shill. Stacey didn't, there was no note passed to Stacey to make sure you talk about it. Nice job, Stacey.
Well, yeah. I'm a woman. I want to stay fit.
Yeah. No, we firmly believe that when you have a date in the calendar and you're working towards something, everybody wants to go to the gym. And you look at the numbers in the gyms, people sign up, and those people don't necessarily come on a daily basis unless you have a reason to go, unless you
pick
have
a date,
a friend or somebody that says, let's do this together. And then you know that you're training towards something. You just said it before, the 3 or 5K, you still want to do it. Once you commit, you're going to do it. And then that's your own accountability partner. So we want to create content. We want to create an infrastructure, a platform where we can have people be their own accountability partner. And certainly our community is very helpful because they also inspire and encourage each other. Nobody gets left behind.
Here's something interesting that you guys do with that pick a date piece, which I was wanted to make sure that I mentioned. I did pick a date, and I wasn't able to make that date this year, but you guys did something really interesting post. You sent me a note and basically said, hey, we're sorry that we missed you. So first of all, you knew that I missed it. And then you were able to create a piece of personalization to me, which is of course always so critical. You're going to interrupt my email. And if somebody's going to interrupt my email, bring me something of value. You let me know, hey, we know that you missed it. No big deal. It happens. But then you offered me the opportunity to be able to pick up the next race either for free or at a ridiculously cheap discount or whatever that was. And I thought, oh man, that's so clever. You know, it's clever because it's a reminder of, hey, we're sorry that we missed you. It's a reminder of, Sean, you set this date and you missed this date. Mm-hmm. And then you gave me something of value back, which you didn't have to, which of course just makes me feel even more like the brand cares about me. Mm-hmm. And so how big is your team and where do those kinds of ideas seem to percolate, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, our team is actually rather small. We have around 35 people in the marketing team. We do most of our things in-house. The percolation really comes from the entire company. And I think we use everybody that we have, including our customers, as people that help us shape our offer. And I can't say it enough, our community is so important. And one of the first things I did when I joined, I started calling a customer a day and I got so many amazing ideas out of it. Because customers will say that, you know, I've been a customer for the last 10 years. I missed one date and you bumped me out. I couldn't come because something happened. Those are the things you think, I feel like as a brand, specifically a badge brand, we believe 20,000 tattoos. We don't want to disappoint our people.
Call it a badge brand.
Yes.
And so to you, a badge brand is?
To me, a badge brand is a brand that you want to carry on your sleeve. So you want to wear all the merchandise. You basically are walking billboard
are,
in a
yeah.
way. And I should be, you know, rewarding people that want to talk about my brand versus making their lives harder. So we really try. Again, we're a very small organization. We're across 48 different countries, 250 events. We're producing 20 articles a week. We're doing tons of things. How do we keep in mind, like, is this really adding value to my customer? And how do I overcome the pain points? And in a lot of areas, we really rely on our community. We have all these community platform organized community groups where, you know, members of our community really reach out to 20, 30, 50 people that bring them to the races and they become an extension of our team. And we're just so thankful for all those people that really, you know, we might say drank the Kool-Aid, but really believe in our mission and really understand that this has made a significant change in their life and they want to share that and bring other people in.
It is a discussion of those most passionate, you know, consumers that you have. And it's a reminder, again, even with a smaller team, whoever it is that's on your digital team, they are working your remarketing like nobody's business. Because I will tell you, I know if a race is coming up, there is no question that I'm going to get hit 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times sometimes. But in doing so, it's a reminder that whoever it is that's building those pieces on your end, they're thinking again about how do you find those consumers that you're not having to put completely new people in the funnel or talk to people who they're just never going to go to a Spartan race or a Tough Mudder. It's just not for them. And it seems like, at least the touches that I get, it seems like you guys have been able to kind of dial into that secret sauce a little bit of, let's make sure that we're talking to people that are closer to that conversion metric. Mm-hmm. And so talk about conversion metrics to some extent, maybe even if it's just for a few minutes. How are you guys measuring that? What kind of tools do you guys feel like you're using and how do you see that evolving over the next couple of years?
Yeah, we're looking very closely at how we are converting at every step. So I think one of the things that you just mentioned, we have an incredibly high NPS score. So from that perspective,
NPS stands for
Net Promoter Score. So we're always looking at how was that experience? Because obviously getting somebody back that has just raced and with such high Net Promoter Scores in the 80s and sometimes even 90s, you know, we have a high likelihood that you're going to come back. But then we need to retarget you right in that moment.
So sure do.
We're really looking at, you know, the first 2 weeks post-race, what can we do? I think where we're really pushing the boundaries right now is looking at our email communications. And whilst it's obviously complex, how can we even be more targeted to your experience? So you get a birthday email, you get your race from last year's coming up, are you coming back? But then also, how can we really find more micro segments of people that, you know, beyond the obvious, what do you have in common and how can I add value to your life? And then on the digital side, you know, as everybody's seeing, it's becoming more and more expensive. So we definitely want to be savvy and we want to make sure that those dollars are, you know, targeting those people that potentially have the highest likelihood to convert. But also we learn a multi-attribution model. Where else have they been on our website? What other communication parts? You know, are they in our social media? Are they listening to podcasts? So we're really trying to see maybe there's a direct mail opportunity because they're not so active on social. So we're touching all those different touch points and are really trying to become better at everything.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting, yes.
And as you guys build and grow and you acquire, you gain even more of a foothold in the space to some extent. It's all about real estate, really, for a lot of brands. And you guys are in a unique position to be able to take up a lot of that real estate, meaning I've only got X amount of time outside of my workplace. And so how do I use that time?
One interesting thing you say outside of your workplace, one of the things I learned from talking to customers, I would call people that have brought 50, 60 people to races. And I just thanked them and I said, it's amazing. And they said, actually, my company paid for it because I, you know, I'm in a sales function and I really want to bring people in, or I have a millennial team and I don't really know how to entertain them. So we found all these people that are basically using us as a platform for either corporate entertainment, sales, you know, client activations. And they said, you won't believe, once I lead that team, it changes everybody's lives and they look at me as a leader differently. I've risen through the ranks because all of a sudden I'm training all our senior people. So it's a great platform that brings people in. And from that perspective, we're expanding into corporations now.
It's the sign of a good CMO that as soon as I say, you know, I say accept here and they go, oh, hold on. They raise a finger and go, well, hold on a second. Actually, funny that you mentioned that because here's exactly where we're expanding next. Carola, you can't take over my whole life for crying out loud. Dear Lord, I need to be able to watch some TV and eat some fatty food every once in a while. Geez, stop stalking me, Spartan. There are only a handful of hashtags that I actually follow on Instagram. Hashtag Spartan is one of them. Hashtag Tesla is another. I won't go into that other than it's an amazing car.
Love being in that group, I have to say. Thank you.
And now you're going to have to make me one of those phone calls, Carola. You said you call customers from time to time and you spend some time with them. Next time, put me on the podcast for crying out loud. Let me talk about what I love about Spartan as a 50-year-old, not always in great shape kind of dude, who travels from time to time, I guess. I don't know.
100%. You're invited.
Carola, we've got a couple of minutes left. I told you that would be painless. Hopefully you found it to be such. Hopefully the worst part of this experience was having to get in the car or take the train over here. What did you do? Did you take the train or did you take a car?
I was working on a presentation in the back of a yellow cab.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. Talk to me about who has either inspired you or who is inspiring you right now to just be a better marketer.
I would have to say Joe DeSena, because he is the founder. He left Wall Street. He grew up in Queens, had a pool business at a very young age. He's a serial entrepreneur, had a company on Wall Street, sold it. And purely out of the ambition that he thought there must be more in life, he wanted to be healthier. He wanted to change people's lives. And he always reminds us, 100 million lives, that's the goal. And I think he pushes very hard. You know, he is very tenacious, but he has amazing ideas and he has the right intention for this brand. I think everything that he throws at us and wants us to do, there's a reason for it. And he is incredibly forward looking and always has great ideas. So I think our entire company takes a lot from him. And, you know, just having that, not just being profit oriented, but really being cost based in a way and saying, what can we do that's improving the environment? What's improving all people that want to participate at Spartan? Looking at our abled athletes, looking at kids, looking at different nationalities that we can bring in. He's always thinking about the next thing. And that's just an incredibly inspiring environment to be in. And I've certainly worked with a lot of different companies in my Interbrand days. And I find it's very rare to have somebody that A, gives the team so much leeway to try and to test, but also is always up for the next challenge.
Is it also the sign of a good CMO when you ask who the mentor is and they mention the president of the CEO of the company?
Look, I rip into him every day, so I have to give him a little bit of credit sometimes. People.
Well, I'm a fan, as I said. I'm excited to see how the brand continues to expand. I'll continue to get out there and try my best. And hopefully, again, you'll make me one of those phone calls one of these days. Listen, Carola Jane, Chief Marketing Officer at Spartan, we thank you again so much for being part of season 4 of the CMO Suite. We hope we can have you back on again at some point to talk to us even more about everything that's happened. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
With that, thank you again for listening through this episode of the CMO Suite with Carola Jane from Spartan. She has been kind enough, as we mentioned, to start the show, to come back, talk to us a little bit about how the world has changed really over that last 5 or 6 weeks, how crazy that is to even say. And so with that, welcome back, I guess I should say, to the show, Carola. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again.
So, you know, we talked on the last episode just really about what you guys have become, which is, a consumer brand more so than just, you know, a race facilitator. And I would imagine that really with what's happened over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks that may have even accelerated in some ways what you guys are doing out there. So with that, talk to me maybe a little bit about, has this changed your approach to anything, or really how does a Spartan as a brand adjust to the reality of people doing virtual races and really things like that?
Yeah, I think everything we spoke about, and I don't have all the details in my head, but we talked community being first and really, you know, listening to the community, serving the community. And that has been our mantra ever since we had to close first our offices and obviously the majority of all our races. So I think we as a brand have adjusted quite in a quite resilient way to the new reality. And we're one of the first companies out there to really start 24/7 a Zoom channel with training content. And we have slowly evolved and pivoted that. I think, again, through Joe DeSena, the founder, we've been able to leverage him, or he has been the beacon for the community, for obviously our internal company, but also the way we structure our content. So we were able to listen to the community, hear what they want. They want training content. They want motivational content. They frankly want to know how everybody in the community is dealing with this. So we start at 5:30 in the morning with a warrior call that Joe leads on Zoom. It's a global call, over hundreds of people on this call. It gets covered by entrepreneur.com. And we are able to really get a very global perspective.
Let me pause you just for a second on that, because you hit some really interesting stuff there, right? So as many CMOs are out there trying to navigate their way through what this is, there's many cases where a CEO is trying to run the business part of the business, which is hard enough in the reality of, you know, you've got 1,000 employees or you've got 20 employees. How do you, as the CEO, navigate that? Meanwhile, as the CMO, you rely upon them so much. And in some cases, for some brands, that's probably been hard to be able to get that kind of time in with the CEO because they're doing so many other things. It does sound like in this case, it takes a pretty amazing person to be able to invest not only that time mentally, but to say, look, we're in this. Let's just go. Just go. Whatever this is what it is.
I think Joe says the standards don't change, right? So that's how he operates. His standards are obviously 24/7. So that's a pretty high bar to follow. But I think we all get incredible fuel from our community. And I think Joe gets hundreds of letters every day. And if you read those letters, you know, you really know that what we're doing might not currently drive revenue, but it's definitely building the community, growing the community, and engaging the community. And I think right now, from a brand perspective, that's all we need to focus on, right? We're not looking for the latest monetization opportunity. We're really looking for being that brand, the safe haven and the inspiration that people are looking for and want to be associated with.
We did talk a little bit in the show about some of those things you guys were already doing to not necessarily have to monetize everything, but to build community. And through building community, you build trust. And by doing that for as many years as you guys have, that's in some ways, I don't want to say what insulated you guys from some of this, but that's in some ways what takes those people who believe in the brand, who know the brands, to almost lean in even more and say, oh my God, I can't go to the gym. I can't do this. I can't do these things. Who's going to be there for me? And you guys seem to have already, you know, built in those infrastructural pieces to be able to do just that. I'm going to go off topic for 1 second, and then I want to wrap with kind of where you think things are moving forward. Are you guys on TikTok?
We are definitely investing in our TikTok abilities, but
My kids are mortified. They are mortified that I'm on TikTok right now. Anyway, I didn't mean to sidetrack other than just, again, I think so many people are, they're trying new things or they're figuring out ways to just either adapt or just turn your brain off with that. Is there anything else that you feel like over the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks that you're going to be focusing most of your time on from a brand perspective? Or are you already, you've been in the thick of it for the last 6 weeks?
So two learnings, I think. Our current approach is not going to go away. I think the one silver lining of all of this is what we've learned is that our community loves content and that we can engage them with content. And frankly, you know, out of all of this, wanting to serve the community first, we also now have a platform for our sponsors. So those that, you know, would either be at races or would have content around races now get a daily newsletter that a million people get with up to 20% open rate. That's a great newsletter that people want to be in and want to be associated with, right? So we've created so many assets for our sponsors that we weren't even thinking about before. So we're going to adjust our product so it really fits the new standards. And we're going to start in whatever shape or form we need to start to bring people together. We had one workout tour where 10 people participated. They were 10 feet apart. They wore masks and they had a blast. So we're going to start small. And the community is definitely asking for it. Everybody wants to have Spartan back in their life.
It is exciting to be able to see just that. You know, every brand is going to have to adapt around this. Every brand is going to have to do what they are. I don't want to say that you are lucky or uniquely positioned, but it is always inspiring to be able to talk to a CMO who has a brand that already was doing some of this well beforehand. And so the pivots, in essence, that some people are trying to figure out, how do I do this? You guys were already in a lot of those cases. And you do. You guys have built this brand that people just, if you have a passion for it, you soak that content up. You guys can't push me enough content. You know, that's how much people want to soak this up. So listen, I appreciate you making some time for us. Thank you very much again for making time for us in New York. Carola Jane, CMO for Spartan, thank you again for joining us for the after show of the CMO Suite.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting. But your agency should. Uconnex provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnex today for a free demo. Uconnex, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.